I'm Reverend Lisa Day, minister of the Unitarian Universalist Church of Savannah. Welcome to our weekly radio program, where you'll hear a segment from one of our recent services recorded at our church on beautiful Troop Square. We invite you to join us Sundays at 11 a.m. in person or via live stream on Zoom. You can find the Zoom link and more about Unitarian Universalism in Savannah at our website, uusavannah.org. We hope you enjoy today's program.
Good morning. Tidings to my turkey-filled, thankful, tenacious, and thoughtful team. I'm Jessica Levitt-Watara, and I'll be serving as your worship associate today. Welcome to the Unitarian Universalist Church of Savannah. Our minister, Reverend Lisa Day, is our worship associate this morning. She's our worship leader. I'm the worship associate. Turkey brain, guys. Our worship, religious education, and covenant group theme for November is nurturing gratitude. Here at the UU Church of Savannah, we are working to build a diverse, multicultural, and beloved community. We celebrate the presence and participation of people of all races, genders, sexual orientations, abilities, and ethnic and national origins. We warmly welcome you on YouTube, or if you're here in the sanctuary, whoever you know yourself to be, and wherever you are on your journey. With the lighting of our chalice, symbol of the Unitarian Universalist faith, we center into sacred time. In the Unitarian Universalist tradition, our chalice stands for the light of reason, the warmth of community, and the flame of hope. Today, we light this chalice in hope, a tiny flame we nurture. We light this chalice with reverence for this place, for these people, for this time. We light this chalice with our soul's longing to be who we are, to be who we will become, and to be ourselves.
This is the waiting time. Waiting is never easy. Poisoned by dread, enlivened by excitement, waiting distorts our relationship to time. Stop. Keep the feared moment at bay. Hurry up. Let joy arrive. Waiting acknowledges incompleteness. What's missing? What is yet to come? Why do we wait? This is the waiting time, and waiting is never easy. The waiting time is holy time. In the not yet abides possibility. Fate not sealed, die not cast, and hope is born. Waiting invites depth, richness, intensity. The fruitcake absorbs the rum. The brine cures the fish, and the unborn child grows whole. In the waiting time, all things come to fullness. Blessed is the waiting time. Let us worship together.
Good morning. Good morning. For Love at the Center this morning, I'm presenting a poem by Rumi titled The Guest House, translated by Coleman Barks. This being human is a guest house. Every morning, a new arrival, a joy, a depression, a meanness. Some momentary awareness comes as an unexpected visitor. Welcome and entertain them all. Even if they are a crowd of sorrows who violently sweep your house empty of its furniture, still treat each guest honorably. He may be clearing you out for some new delight. The dark thought, the shame, the malice. Meet them at the door laughing and invite them in. Be grateful for whoever comes, because each has been sent as a guide from the beyond.
Let us enter into a spirit of meditation. The words of meditation this morning: the humanist is asked to divine worship, by the Reverend Dr. Kendall Gibbons. There is a moment after the student minister with his accent has announced the housekeeping of the people of God, after the reading of words familiar and always new, as the flute player draws breath and the last page settles on the lectern and the lady behind me coughs gently, when I am wholly happy and at rest. The preacher waits with a saving word. I know the tension, but not today. Instead, this gracious suspense, while the store-bought roses stretch their petals, not to any incoming bee, but just for the beauty of the thing. For this I was made, this loveliness of known order, measured movement of thought in stillness, and something more basic than thought. There is a moment when all things gather themselves toward intention, and I am gathered and glad. Light holds just before the note sounds, in this pure space overflowing with thanks. Our first reading this morning from UCC Minister Patricia Kark. During a time of preparation for visiting relatives, my daughter Erin became very impatient. She was ready to go see her grandparents and unhappy about the delay as I tried to tie up some last-minute details before leaving. I explained to her that we needed to do a few more things before we could leave and that she would simply have to be patient and wait. Upon hearing that, she quickly rushed out of the room. Within a few minutes, she once again called to me, informing me that she was ready. Again, I expressed the need for her to wait, and this time she informed me that she had waited and that we could go now. I went to see what she was up to and found her in the bathroom, sitting on the bathroom scale, waiting. She had gone to the quickest place she knew to wait, that place where you stand and instantly know what your weight is, in pounds anyway. And then the process of waiting is over and done with. Her impatience moved her to find a way to make the waiting go a little quicker, to let it be a little easier. For Erin, waiting for something as important as a visit to her grandparents was truly a burden, and she sought a quick answer. What could be more symbolic of this burden than those pounds of weight which tie us down to reality, while our flights of expectation and anticipation move us impatiently forward? Waiting is heavy. Waiting ties us down to some place when we'd rather be elsewhere. Waiting makes us impatient. Our whole lifestyle is one in which waiting means wasting time. We have microwave ovens which cook dinner in 1 hour instead of four. We have a Concorde which flies us to our destination in almost half the time of a jet airplane. We hate to wait on lines. We hate to wait for people. We hate to be put on hold when we're talking on the telephone. One of the most often heard reflections on waiting seems to be, won't it be nice when this waiting is over? And from the late Unitarian Universalist minister, Roy Phillips. The cartoon shows two men wearing sandwich boards parading along the downtown sidewalk. One of them wears the sign, "Jesus is coming." The other shows the words, "The Buddha is here now." Religions have not had an easy time finding ways to say that the focal point of the life of the spirit is here and now, not a mundane sense of it, but rather an awe-filled sense of extraordinariness, moment after moment. The cartoon Buddhist wears his signboard because, in spite of his message, he knows people tend to live life mundanely. They live as if it's not here yet. If people need his message as a reminder that it really is here now, then the question inevitably arises, is it? The cartoon Christian risks people's impatience. When is it coming? Tired of waiting, it's been a couple thousand years so far, many settle for a humdrum here and now. This is the spiritual problem embedded in the month-long season of Advent. The season's struggle is about how to say, this realm is the focus, but more is here in this realm than we have yet permitted ourselves. The more refers to a quality of experience in our lives, characterized by a deeper, higher, further range, the color of feeling, a sense of being natural, being at home in a kaleidoscopically wondrous, unfolding miracle of a world, now, here. That is the sense Advent aims toward. It is what Christmas is meant for. This is it, here, now. Let every heart prepare. Did any of you walk into church today and see the Advent candles surrounded by greenery where only last week we displayed our harvest of blessings and mutter, "Oh no, not Christmas already"? The Christmas displays in the mall and the ads on every form of media are bad enough. Do we have to have Christmas at church already too? We're still eating Thanksgiving leftovers. It's not even December. It can't be Christmas yet. Well, you're right, it's not Christmas yet. But while I share the dismay bordering on disgust that ever earlier appearances of retail holiday displays generate, still I know in my heart that the season has begun, that the Advent wreath belongs here this morning, that our closing hymn, an Advent hymn, is the proper one for this date. It's not Christmas yet. It's Advent, the first Sunday of Advent. Whether you shopped for gifts on Black Friday or Small Business Saturday or not, whether you've begun listening to Christmas music or are holding off a bit longer, whether your tree is already up or won't go into the stand until Christmas Eve, whatever your state of readiness, the season of formal waiting begins today. The first job for which I received a paycheck was detasseling corn the summer after seventh grade. A cousin and I stayed with our grandparents and joined a crew that worked the fields around their small town. I hated that job. I hated being away from home. Other than my cousin, I didn't know any of the other kids. The fields were cold and wet early in the morning, hot and dry later in the day. The corn was way over my head, making it difficult for me to reach the tassels, so I was often the last person in the crew to finish my row. An allergy to the corn made my arms break out in a rash, and soil ground its way into some not yet healed poison ivy rash on my shins, leaving scars I have to this day. Each night before bed, I crossed another day off a little calendar I scribbled on a bit of paper, marking the days until I would get to go home to have braces put on my teeth. No teenager ever looked forward to braces as much as I did that summer because it was my way out of the cornfield. Crossing squares off a calendar, paper, digital, or mental, to count down the days and weeks to a long-awaited event is a ritual most of us are familiar with. Any high school student knows the number of days until graduation from the beginning of the first semester, and by spring, most other students, and teachers especially, could tell you that magic number, too. People looking forward to retirement often keep similar counts. This time of year in our culture, it's the holidays to which folks of all ages are counting down the days. Children with a great deal of impatience and barely concealed excitement, and adults with a growing sense of panic at the thought of all that must still be done in preparation for Christmas. And with some misgivings about the disappointments and grief that are sure to come in the midst of a season that's supposed to be joyful. Whether we're breathlessly waiting for a celebration or impatiently waiting for it to be over again for another year, each of us has these December holidays circled in red on our mental calendars, and we're crossing the days off as they pass. Advent calendars are a physical manifestation of those mental calendars. Is it Christmas yet? When will it be Christmas? See these little windows? We'll open one each day, and when there aren't any more windows, then it will be Christmas. What I used to think of as aids to help with the questions that pester parents this time of year have become big business and aren't just for kids anymore. The first ones I remember having as a kid were paper with a simple drawing behind each door. Later, our family's traditional Advent calendars were chocolate-filled versions sold by our junior high school German club. For the past few years, one of my friends has been sending me Advent calendars as early birthday gifts. 2 years ago, it was a tiny jigsaw puzzle New Yorker magazine cover every day for 24 days. I still haven't put all 24 of them together. Last year, it was a different tea each day. Tomorrow, I'll open a door to reveal the first of 24 jams and spreads, a delight some of my friends have been raving about in recent Advent seasons. Advent calendars remain a very concrete way of marking time for young, impatient minds. But thinking about them this year, it occurs to me that more than that, with little toys, chocolate, simple craft projects behind the doors, Advent calendars are teaching children and reminding adults that that big day they're waiting for, the one with the presents and all the hoopla, isn't the only special day. Rather, each day offers gifts of its own. A toy, a piece of chocolate, a puzzle, a project, or a jar of jam. Each window opened hints that there are delights to be discovered today, here, now, in the meantime. These calendars embody the message of the cartoon that shows competing sandwich boards. Jesus is coming. The Buddha is here now. Subtle lessons, perhaps, but it is not insignificant that Advent calendars open up and reveal, rather than simply crossing days off, discarded and done with on the race to the big one, like my countdown to the end of corn detasseling. Like most kids, my siblings and I had trouble waiting for all kinds of important events. Our mom devised a game to help us wait when we expected a visitor at our home. We'd sit on the front steps or near the living room window and play My Car. The first car to appear on our street would be my sister's car, the next would be my car, the next one my brother's car, then Kathy's and mine and Chris's again, until at last the desired car appeared and pulled into our driveway. Whichever child was lucky enough to exclaim, "My car," that final time, got a small reward. The delight of the first hug from Grandma, or the right to tell Dad a bit of family news he'd missed while he was at the office, or the honor of holding the baby first if our visitors happened to bring a baby along, and that was the best reward. My car undoubtedly made the waiting easier for Mom, keeping us occupied as it did. She was left to take care of last-minute tasks or enjoy a few minutes of downtime without us asking, when are they going to be here? It made the waiting easier for us, too, helping us pass the time. More than simply passing time, however, it engaged us in the here and now, even while we eagerly awaited some future event. I won't pretend that sitting on the step shouting "my car" was ever as exciting or as rewarding as the arrival of a grandparent or a friend with a baby, but it focused our eyes and our attention on the world outside of our house. And surely in the meantime we noticed people and birds and squirrels and the color of flowers and the wind in the old elm tree, along with the cars driving by. And we learned something about having fun even as we waited the big event. My car was an early lesson for us in the theology we would grow up hearing in our Unitarian Universalist Church each December. A passage from W.H. Auden's For the Time Being, a Christmas oratorio. The garden is the only place there is, but you will not find it until you have looked for it everywhere and found nowhere that is not a desert. The miracle is the only thing that happens, but to you it will not be apparent until all events have been studied and nothing happens that you cannot explain. Our minister read those words to us so often because children aren't the only people in need of Advent calendars and My Car type games. As one of our readings pointed out this morning, waiting is a vastly unpopular occupation in our culture. All the advances in technology have speeded up the world in the past few decades, but have in the end failed to eradicate waiting. A sitcom character on news radio years ago decided he wanted to adopt a baby. Off he went to an adoption agency where he filled out a few forms and expected to walk out the door with a baby. He was appalled when told there was a lengthy waiting list. 9 months, he exclaimed. Whoever heard of waiting 9 months for a baby? Well, of course, 9 months is still the standard waiting period for a baby, and adoptions routinely take much longer. Advances in medicine, notwithstanding, healing from illness or injury or broken hearts still takes more waiting than most of us have the patience to endure gracefully. Trips to the post office or amusement park or license bureau still involve waiting in line unless we're very, very lucky. When the shortest day of the year comes and goes in a few weeks, still we'll wait a long time for the sun's return as it creeps our way just a minute or two more each day. Test results, phone calls, the release of a new book by a favorite author, election results, and on. You could each add several dozen more items to the list of the things we wait for, usually impatiently. Then in the midst of all the waiting comes Advent. It's a period of waiting, of expectation and preparation, but it also brings an invitation for us to live fully and deeply and even joyfully here now in the midst of the waiting, to wait actively. When all the windows or doors on the Advent calendar are opened, then Christmas will be there, but along the way there is delight in the opening of each window, each door. When all four of the Advent candles are lit, then Christmas will be here. But there is a unique beauty in the light of a single candle. There is a unique beauty in the light of two candles and three candles. There are perhaps moments in our lives, brief and fleeting, when we are fully and absolutely engaged in the wait for something. Much more of the time, we live in expectation, in desire. We search for the garden. We search for the miracle, for the freedom and happiness retirement will bring, for the joy of a new baby, for the low humidity of winter in Savannah, for a military family member's safe return from deployment, a college student's return for the holidays, for remission. Those not yet events will be cause for rejoicing and great celebration when they come to pass. But we would do well to be ever opening other windows into and onto our lives, open to discovering something hidden and whimsical, refreshing, enriching, sweet, sky, nourishing, simple or profound each day, here, now, even as we wait. This practice of actively waiting can be transformative, especially this year, when we want nothing more than an end to an administration that began less than a year ago, when we long for relief from greed and injustice and hatred for our neighbors, our families, ourselves. The theme for this Sunday, first Sunday of Advent, is hope. In times like these, we access the hope that will sustain us through the wait by opening doors and windows that reveal joy in community, possibility in organizing, strength in coalition building, delight in colored lights, solace in familiar tunes. All of it here, now, just waiting for us to open our eyes, our ears, our hearts. Advent is a paradoxical time when we sing of the day with love, when love, truth, light, and hope shall come, forgetting that they are already here, deep within our hearts and in the midst of our daily lives. We need only open another window and reveal them to the world and to ourselves. In the 14th century, Italian Franciscan friar, architect, archaeologist, and scholar Fra Giovanni offered the same promise, extended the same invitation. "I salute you," he wrote. "There is nothing I can give you which you have not, but there is much that while I cannot give, you can take. No heaven can come to us unless our hearts find rest in it today. Take heaven. No peace lies in the future which is not hidden in this present instant. Take peace. The gloom of the world is but a shadow. Behind it, yet within our reach, is joy. Take joy. And so at this Christmas time," he continued, "I greet you with the prayer that for you, now and forever, the day breaks and the shadows flee away. May it be so. Amen."
This is Reverend Lisa Day. I hope you've enjoyed this program from the Unitarian Universalist Church of Savannah. Please join us at one of our services sometime soon at our church on Troop Square or live on Zoom. We're the beacon of liberal religion in Savannah, and you can find out more at uusavannah.org. We meet on Sundays at 11 a.m. Thanks for listening.